book.
Okay, ladies, I need to interrupt because the call is being recorded, so I want to get started this evening. I just want to say good evening and welcome to this month's NABBW teleconference. We always try to enlighten, educate, and empower women on these calls, so we're ready to do so with Eleanor. But what I'd first like to do is give you a little information about how the call will work this evening, and then we'll get started. I would really appreciate it if everyone except Fran and Eleanor would kindly hit the 6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises. And once we hear the end of those, if anyone's just entering the call, we would appreciate it if you would kindly push the 6 button to mute any background noises. Okay, at the end of our interview this evening, we will have time for some questions and answers. And at that time, all you'll have to do is simply hit 6, and then you'll be able to talk and we'll be able to hear you. So until then, if you would kindly hit 6 and stay muted for the call. Okay, I am Dotsie Bragel, and I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and the number one site on all search engines for baby boomer women, which is www.boomerwomenspeak.com. I am passionate about educating and empowering midlife women, and this evening we have 2 people on the call, Fran, who is our founder of the Booming Women Conferences, which begin this weekend, and we just wanted to have her for about 5 minutes to kind of just give us a quick update and fill us in on the excitement for this weekend. Fran, are you there?
Yes. Hey, everybody. It's actually going to be shorter than 5 minutes. Dottie, thanks for having
That's
me
fine.
On. But we're just really excited. It didn't seem like February 23rd would ever get here, but it is upon us. And so we're all excited. All the speakers are excited. It's going to be at the Westin LAX. And we've got women coming from all over, mainly California. It's turning out to be mostly a local event, which is fine. It's the first year. And, you know, we're building our brand. We've been featured in probably 15 to 20 national newspapers just in the last 60 days. So the word's getting out there about all the work that everybody's doing to help move boomer women forward. So we're excited about it. And I do want to just make a quick announcement that if you are in the Los Angeles area and you are interested in coming to the Booming Women Conference this weekend, we have 5 more hotel rooms that we are actually giving away for Friday and Saturday night. If you want to come to the conference, and you just need to get here. We're going to actually take care of your rooms for Friday and Saturday night, but we only have 5 more of those left. So that's basically it, Dottie. And, of course, you can find out about Booming Women by going to boomingwomen.com. It has all the information about the speakers. We're excited. I picked up the banners today.
Oh, good.
I mean, yeah, it's just it's interesting getting people to find out about a conference and also all the things that you have to go through to basically make a conference a reality just from the idea standpoint and then actually getting booties in the seat. So we're excited about it.
Well, good, Fran. And I want you to know, as I've said, I've been praying for you and sending really positive energy your way because I really want this to be a success because I know how hard you've been working on it and your staff and your sister and everybody involved. So I'm really just hoping and praying that the weekend goes without a hitch.
Thank you. And thank everybody in the National Association of Baby Boomer Women community for passing – you know, they've just been so gracious and generous for passing on the emails and telling people about it. So I want to thank you as well for being one of our sponsors in the first year.
It's my pleasure. All right, Fran, thanks.
Take care.
You too. Okay, so we're going to move on with Eleanor Stutz tonight. But first, I know some people were still beeping in while Fran was talking, so if you'd be kind enough to push 6, it will mute any background noises so we don't hear babies crying or dogs barking or whatever. And if we do, it's fine, but it helps a little bit. Okay, Eleanor is the CEO of Smooth Sail, and she's also an author. She specializes in sales skill training for entrepreneurs, salespeople, and network marketers. Her style is genuine, and her materials are very original. All her venues are based upon her own real-world experience with a client roster of Sony, U.S. Geological Survey, Visa, and high-tech startups. The uniqueness of her is that she shares her top producer corporate sales skills and her entrepreneurial business building knowledge with her clients. She offers both sales training products and services, including her new book, and the title I just love. It's called Nice Girls Do Get the Sale, and it's about relationship building that gets results. The Smooth Sale, Selling 4-Hour 4-CD Seminar and Smooth Selling Toolkit. She provides on-site training and licenses her training program, and her Sales Tips e-zine is delivered bi-monthly, and it offers selling strategies and tips. She's appeared on radio shows, she writes business articles, and participates as a mentor at the Learning Cafe. And you can hear Eleanor speaking at conferences across the country. And this is just an exciting little tidbit that Time Magazine quoted Eleanor in their business supplement on November 6th in 2006. So anyway, we just want to welcome Eleanor to the call. How are you this evening, Eleanor?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate your time this evening and everyone on the call. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we're kind of finished with, the bios and the introductions and everything else. And so let's get on with trying to educate us about women at midlife in business, whether we're launching businesses or we're working for someone else or considering starting a business. I just want to go over a little bit of your history because I think it's interesting and I think it's empowering, and I think that, you know, the women listening may feel encouraged by hearing your story. You have worked for many, you know, different people in the past, and you were in your, the job that you quit was your favorite job ever and also your best paying job before you decided to quit and start your own business. So if you would first tell us why you chose to leave that job. You want to start with that?
I'll be very happy to. This was a company that was high-tech. It was just at the end of the dot-boom craze, and it was to sell advertising service on cell phones when they were first beginning to connect to the Internet. There was a few-second delay time where the advertising would be served up. I had the biggest advertising agencies in the country lined up to buy the service. And I had a wonderful base salary. I finally felt I had made a man's position with the salary, and the commission was going to be great. And I'm telling you, it was such an exciting project. I couldn't wait to get to work each morning. And then, to my horror, I realized the person in charge of our program was avoiding me. And we were in big, tall cubicles in those days. Mm-hmm. And every time I got to his desk, he was gone. So I decided to go around the cubicles in a different order and cornered him. And I realized, as a salesperson, I'm very attuned to looking a person in the eye and watching the body language. This man could not even face me. And he was all curled up, almost like a fetal position. And he didn't have to say anything. I knew at that point that they were just waiting for me to collect the money, and maybe or maybe not the service would exist. So I took the rest
Excuse
of the day.
Me one second. Can someone, if someone just entered the call, can you please push 6 to, thank you, that's better. Okay, go ahead, Eleanor.
Okay, so he was all curled up, and I was very attuned to watching body language and facial expressions, so I knew right there and then that the service wasn't going to exist. The rest of the day I spent calling up all of my prospects who had told me they were going to buy from me, that I had just quit the very exciting project, and after we hang up, I suggested that they take 5 minutes to contemplate why I may have quit. They all got the message and thanked me profusely. I truly believe that you have to be ethical. Mm-hmm. It's a very small world these days, and it will catch up with you if you don't treat people 100%. And I certainly don't want to be remembered in my lifetime as another Kenneth Lay or anybody similar to that.
So, okay. Well, basically, it was a moral issue, basically. You decided that you just couldn't work for them and you needed to leave that position. And then how did you have the guts, I guess, or the gumption to go out and do something on your own?
Well, this is another short story that wound up with Smooth Sale. On my 55th birthday, I wound up with a broken neck and found myself at Stanford Hospital at emergency, and the doctors were telling my family I'd be paralyzed. But while they were being consulted, I decided that it was time I started to help people, that I had always written checks to charities but had never given of myself. and it was time I did it and start to formulate a business plan. The next morning when I was doused with medication for surgery, the surgeon said to me in a very serious voice, "When you wake up, most likely you will be paralyzed." And again, using sales skills, I mirrored the look on his face and intensity of his voice, and I said, "When I wake up, I fully expect to be well." And 3 days later, I walked out of the hospital. And I continued with that plan that I had started on the stretcher and just vowed I would never, ever go back to corporate America again.
Okay, well, this is interesting because I really find in speaking to a lot of women at midlife that it is often a valley that brings us to the mountaintop. I mean, it's typically when you're going through something rough, and in your case, I guess it was your accident, you know, quitting your job and you know, this surgery and this fear that really turned your life around. And I would have to say I can share a similar story. You know, after the death of, after losing my mother, it was then that I was in a valley, and I thought, okay, Lord, you know, I need a new passion. My kids were getting older and leaving home, and I had always been a stay-at-home mom, and I knew I needed something for the next season in life. And I think that a lot of women stay in that fear, and they don't move out of it. So I think that's really important for people who are listening to realize that, yes, you know, there are valleys and there are some really low spots, but it's usually during those times that we have a vision and can pick ourselves up. And it's very important to look fear in the face and be confident and move forward. And so I just want to point that out because I know I have a friend who's going through something similar and she can't get beyond the fear. So I'm, you know, encouraging her to do so. Okay, so you say that that was the best thing you ever did. Is there anything that women should have in place before making this big move? Like some women might say, oh, you know, I really want to leave my job. I'd love to do something for myself. Or you know, it might not even be like an entrepreneurial situation. It could just be finding a different job or just making a change. Is there anything that you think women should have in place before doing so? I mean, did you have a formal business plan? Had you met with the Small Business Administration? What advice can you give?
Well, I'm a poor example because I'm the type of person who jumps into the middle of everything and then scrambles to figure it out. So I'm not very good that way. However, with that said, I have found that coaches, whether a business coach or a transition coach, can make a tremendous difference in one's life. And sometimes you just need that help for a few months, mm-hmm. a week, or just 1 hour conversation to get you in the right direction. But however long that term is, it will make an enormous difference in your outcome, and you'll succeed far more quickly.
Okay, and that's a good thing to mention. Last month we talked about coaching at midlife and what it is and how it differs from therapy, et cetera. And basically, I think from my own experience, sometimes you might need a coach to get started, just to have someone to be accountable to, and then you might sail along for a while, and then something new comes up that you want to learn or want to do or make a change with your business, then you can hire a totally different coach for whatever it is that you need to learn. And there's all kinds of websites online. You know, you can Google coach for whatever type of coaching situation it is that you need, and you can find coaches out there, and most of them will give you a free half hour or hour with them, since so much of this is done by phone these days. So that's a really great suggestion.
And you made a great point, because it has been various points in my 4.5 years of being in business. Recently, I hired a coach, and she happens to be in Texas, and I'm in California. And she's coaching me on how to take my business more and more onto the Internet, because
okay.
my husband plans to retire. So talking about all these changes and how to adapt with it and go with the flow and make something of it, it's all very, very important to keep on going.
Okay, and I'd like to put a plug in now that you're speaking about Internet businesses. I'm a member of the Association of Web Entrepreneurs.
Oh, yes, it's Cherie who's coaching me.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Okay, well then, that's gosh, aweconnect.com, I believe, is her website. Okay, so let's move further down and get into some of the elements of building a dynamic business. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, I'll be happy to. In my humble opinion, a dynamic business comes from always looking for new business because companies come and they go and your contacts come and go. So you always have to look for the new business, but you don't want to be doing that 100% of the time for your entire career. You want to take very good care of your current clients so that you can reap repeat business, referrals, and testimonials. And the way you do that is by delivering outstanding value for whatever it is your business or position might be, and showing concern, checking in all the time, making certain they're happy with what it is you have to offer. And then they will offer you testimonials and referrals to their friends and clients and associates.
Okay. And do you think that women have a leg up on that?
I do, because we're prone to making friends with people and making certain everybody likes us. And that's why men originally thought I wouldn't be able to sell, because I'd be too concerned about that. But if you think about it, wouldn't you rather buy from somebody who wants to be on the same page as you and is likable rather than someone just, you know, trying to cram a sale down your throat?
Right, and I really think that that's why there are so many successful business women, because so much of the whole idea of selling is the relationship, and I just think that in many ways, you know, we nurture our relationships a little better. So now you mentioned testimonials. You want to talk about how important testimonials are in a business?
They're very important. For example, I was at a fair one time and somebody passed by and said, "How do I know you're any good?" And so two things happened. One, I had printed out all the testimonials I ever received into a scrapbook, and I kept all of the little thank you notes that were handwritten and combined them all. And I said, "I could tell you all day long I'm good, but this is what all my clients say." And he was amazed by the big binder. And just at that moment, a client of mine was passing by, and he said, "I'll tell you how you know she's good. I'm telling you so."
Okay.
So that was the best testimonial.
Okay, and for people who have websites, it's very easy to post testimonials online.
Yes, I plug them in where appropriate. Yeah, you have to have testimonials everywhere so people know that you do good work, and they might recognize the people who whose name appears.
Okay, and actually, I'm in a local networking group, and something that I learned from the woman who leads that is that it's important to have as many as possible, because some people might be reading through the testimonials and not really click with whatever it is that they might be interested in using your services for, but then they just might, you know, scroll down, read 10 more, and then there's another one, and so like, yes, that's okay, then if it worked for her, then it'll work for me. So it is important to have lots of testimonials. Okay, anything else about the elements of building a dynamic business?
I would say that's it. And when you do get a sale, you know, thank your client for the time and effort to make it possible. If it's a big sale, by all means, take them out to lunch. If there was a team involved, send a basket of goodies, go in and visit, make sure everything's good, and try to get to know as many people within the company if you are selling to companies.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that you're selling, Eleanor? What are you selling?
Me personally?
Yes.
I sell sales training. Mm-hmm. I have a 4-hour course which can be expanded into all day. I also speak across the country at groups and conventions. And I have products. I have the book Nice Girls. I just wrote an entrepreneurial handbook called How to Grow Your Business, Mindset, Strategy, and Implementation. There will be MP3 files with it and a workbook that should be posted to my website shortly.
Okay, and so basically you created a business based on being a good salesperson from working in corporate America. Is that right?
That's right. I took all my top producing skills. I was a top producer by the fourth month without any training selling an unknown brand of copier door-to-door. Mm-hmm. And I also had been a stay-at-home mom for 15 years. So I didn't even know there was a sales cycle. The only skill that I had was being able to have intimate conversations with people and to feed people. So when people said they didn't have time for an appointment, I'd offer to bring food, and nobody turns down free food.
That's another good point. But I think, you know, that something that I want to point out is how exciting it is that you didn't turn around and try to sell the same products that you were selling in corporate America. You created your own business based on the gifts that you had already been given through your other work. And I think that a lot of women at midlife are saying, you know, oh, gosh, what can I do? You know, I know a woman who can retire from her job, and she's only 48 years old, and she can retire soon. And so she's trying to figure out, okay, what to do next. So I really think it's important, and this is something I always talk about, is the importance of being still and going inward. And you know, for me, I'm a very prayerful person, so it's my relationship with God, and it's like, what are my God-given gifts? And that's how I launched Boomer Women Speak in the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. It was through being still in this crazy, busy world and saying, okay, what's next? And what gifts have I been given, and how can I use them for this next season in life? And it sounds pretty similar to what you've done. And so I just want to point that out. Like some people, you know, when I'm sure when you started this business, you didn't really know exactly what it was going to be. It's evolved. And that's what I think is important for women to understand, is that, you know, you don't always have a business plan. Some people do, but you don't always, and it doesn't sound like you did.
No, you know, you raised some excellent points. Talking about being still, I couldn't move, and that's when I laid out what I was going to do. I just knew I was going to help people. I didn't know in what manner. And then as I was lying still for many hours, I realized the skills I had were sales know-how and to do it easily. And I thought, well, I'll start with that and see how it goes. But what happened was I saw that many women ran away from me when they heard the word sales trainer, because it's a scary subject matter for most. Mm-hmm. And so I started reading marketing books, figuring out, how do I get past this? It was actually very upsetting to go from top producer to having people run away from me. Mm-hmm. And I just read marketing books, and they all said, write a book. Mm-hmm. And I finally got the message. And so I've just written a report, and I'm happy to share it with anybody that wants it, on how to easily write a book. And the main thing is, what I say is, everybody has a story in them, whether it's overcoming a hardship, whether it's family life or career. Write from what you know mm-hmm. really well and that you're passionate about, and the story will come out onto paper.
Okay, and how can they get that? Can they get that as a freebie on your website? Do you want to tell us?
I'm going to post it. I'm leaving town tomorrow early. It'll be on my website in about a week and a half, and I promise to have it up there. Or you can email me, Eleanor, and that's Elinor, at smoothsale, SALE.net.
Okay, and that's SMOOTHSALE.net. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, because that, I mean, that I love freebies. And I'm sure mm-hmm. everybody else does too. So, okay, let's talk about the mindset that's needed to, excuse me, to grow a business.
Okay, the mindset, again, you have to know who you are, what motivates you, where you derive your fun, what kind of people you like, and know in your heart those are the type of people you want to work with and go after. You have to know your niche. Very well-defined niche, and go after it. And you have to have the mindset that, yes, I can. Mark Twain said it best, if you know you can, you will, and if you think you can't, you won't. And you really have to believe it. Now, what I found so surprising, I was at a women's luncheon and Arianna Huffington spoke. And politics aside, she's a very accomplished woman. And she spoke about the roommate in her head that interferes with almost everything she does. But she learned during the day to keep so busy that she doesn't have time to deal with it, so it's at night. And that's what I tell my clients, is that have a task list. Make it out the night before and know exactly what you're going to accomplish the next day and make sure it's a full day. You won't have time to worry about the fear. You're just going to focus on getting done what needs to get done to get you to the next level.
Okay, so this roommate in her head was basically the person who was saying, you can't do this. How are you going to do that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or people are going to laugh at me. They're going to boo me off the stage, whatever it might be.
Right. And gosh, there's another quote, and I can't think of it, but it has something to do with facing your fears. And if you never take the step, you'll never know that you can be successful or something like that. So it's a twist. It's just a twist on the whole negativity, because I think so many people are wrapped up in that fear of what if I don't succeed. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we need to just, you know, kick fear out of the picture. Now, you also mentioned, we talked about getting a mentor, but you also mentioned being organized. And I would have to totally agree with that, because I know that I have like four different books that I keep information in, notebooks, and, you know, I also have the calendar, and I have a timer that I sit on my desk, and if I have like an hour to do something, I set my timer for like 55 minutes. So I know that, you know, when the timer goes off, I need to stop and switch gears, because I work online most of the time, and you can really get carried away and lost online.
Oh, yeah.
And the time can just fly by. So I have my little timer. It's a Polder timer, P-O-L-D-E-R, that sits in your pocket, sits up on your desk, whatever. And I use that almost every day. In addition to that, you know, there are ways to use Outlook Express for keeping yourself organized, and there are people who do seminars on how to use Outlook Express as an organizational key. So if anybody wants to know more about that, you can email me, because I know a woman who does that. But, okay, any other organizational type things that you want to talk about?
Well, for women who go to conventions and collect 100-plus cards, sometimes you can have a tremendous headache getting back to your computer trying to figure out what the conversations were about and how to handle all the information. A good thing that we learned was to take notes on the back of the card from eWomen Network, and that helps tremendously. And then the other thing is to buy a card scanner. I am a very fast typist, but to input 200 cards, you know, is kind of depressing for me. So what I did was buy a high-end card scanner, and it reads in pretty well, about 95% accurate. You have to proofread. It transfers over to a database. I use ACT, and I group the information. So if I meet somebody at eWomen Network or at Boomer Women Speak, wherever it may be, I put the contacts in those groups, and then I can write a personalized email addressed to that particular group, so it has more meaning.
Okay, tell us about the ACT program.
ACT is something I've used for years. I hate reading manuals, and this for me is pretty intuitive. And that's where I keep all the contacts that I meet. I've seen people try to keep them in scrapbooks, and that just doesn't work, because as you add so many cards, it would take hours to re-alphabetize. So ACT keeps your database. It has a calendar like you suggested. You can have a task list. You can mail merge so that you can get out, you know, a couple thousand email and nothing flat. Just does a tremendous amount and is really highly efficient.
Okay, is it something you can buy and download online, or do you have to purchase it at the store?
You can go to ACT.com. The parent company is Sage, S-A-G-E. and you can purchase online. And I think my last version I did download.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good piece of information. Okay. Let's move on to the keys for relationship building.
All right. Well, I tell people as soon as you start approaching prospects as a friend, the barriers come down. You're not intimidating, and they're not afraid of you or, you know, fly away. And it's the same principle. Say you want to meet a new girlfriend or a boyfriend. You have the initial meeting where you try to find as much as you might possibly have in common. And so you share stories. And no one dominates the conversation. And, you know, there's an excitement. And then one of you is say, well, I'll call you. And then it's up to that person, whoever says it, to follow up. Now, this is where most business people fail. They don't follow up because they get scared, just as a boyfriend might get scared. But then you follow up, and you ask to go a step further, maybe for a movie or a luncheon or an appointment. And it's the exact same principle. If you go in with the intent of just selling something, they're going to see dollar signs floating out of your eyes and think that, you know, they don't matter to you at all. But if you go in as a friend, trying to find out why you're there in the first place, a very good question I always start with is, after the small talk, is, you are such a busy person, why did you take the time to see me today? Mm-hmm. And that cuts out all the BS. And they have to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to try to work in their personal goals as well as their professional goals, what challenges they're facing. Because to make a successful sale, you have to find 3 to 5 buy-ins, which are little agreements, and 3 to 5 needs.
Okay.
And without that, if you only find one need, you're not going to make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
has to be strong reason.
Okay. And now, are you doing most of this for your business online or in person? I'm just curious.
Which, the sales training?
Just selling. Like when you're saying you have to find 3 to 5 buy-ins or 3 to 5 needs. For your customer right now, is the majority of what you're doing online or in person?
Right now, majority of it's in person, but it's slowly transferring to the Internet. I signed an agreement with a company to help me create new products and market them online.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, what are you? I know you also talk about in your book about keeping promises, mm-hmm. following up, sending thank you notes, those types of things. That's so important. And I have to say, I know right now I'm in the process of trying to find someone that can offer travel discounts for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. And I won't say who I've tried to correspond with, but there's one site in particular. And I even had an appointment to talk to them by phone, and I never heard from them. I emailed them, never heard back. And this is so out of the ordinary because typically, you know, all the appointments are kept and there's a lot of follow-up, and it's just something that's so out of the ordinary. And I'm not sure what's going on, but I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know what, I just don't know that I'm really interested in working with them if they can't keep an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping those promises, that's very important. And then, you know, of course, the follow-up and sending the thank you notes. And now what do you think about email versus a snail mail thank you?
It depends. For what I do is if I want something instant, I'll send an email thank you. But then if it's like a radio interview, I will also handwrite a note and send it in the mail.
Okay.
And for a sale, absolutely a handwritten note.
Okay.
So I would advise both. And then I ask clients which method of communication they prefer, if it's, you know, phone, email, or regular mail.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point, just to
mm-hmm.
ask right up front.
Yeah, some people have strong preferences.
Okay. Anything else about those keys for relationship building?
Just keeping promises, showing up on time, and apologizing if you're not on time. That's critical, too. People appreciate it if you recognized you goofed.
Right.
And they'll give you a second chance.
Yeah, just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, how do you handle the situation when someone just straight out says no? know to what you're offering, or just thinking that you might be interested in selling them something right off the bat, and they just tell you no. How do you handle that?
All right. Well, no can come up anywhere in the sales cycle, so let's start from the beginning. Assuming you have an appointment, you want to ask why they're saying that, what their history has been, what their reasoning is, so that you truly understand the person behind the title. And sometimes it's just a misunderstanding of the way you used a word. We're so global these days that people use vocabulary in different manners.
Mm-hmm.
And another possibility is you left some information out or you hadn't gotten to it yet and they were expecting it. The thing is, if when you're talking, you also need to be watching their facial expressions and body language. And if you see an eyebrow go up or they lean back or cross their arms suddenly, you have to stop mid-sentence and ask if they have a question. You've got to really be on top of how they're taking information in. And if they're actively engaged in asking you legitimate questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a very good conversation going. And the honesty will come out. If no is in the middle of the sales cycle, again, you can still ask why. If it happens at the very end, say you gave a proposal, and I teach my clients how to write proposals and how to get all the information for them, but assume you're at the end and they chose a different vendor, you can ask, they owe it to you actually, to tell you why they chose the other vendor. Once again, you may not have put in the information or couldn't offer what the other vendor offered. However, you can say sometimes companies will use my service or another service as a secondary for backup to keep the first one honest. So there's still a possibility. But if they tell you absolutely no because you didn't do XYZ, use it as your marketing research for future prospects so you know not to repeat the same mistakes, or can be forewarned on how to position against something that someone else can do and it didn't appear you could.
Absolutely. And if you go with the idea when you're in business that you can learn from everything, then that sometimes you will get no, but you'll, if you learn something from it, then you're still moving in the right direction.
Yeah. My advice is to watch everybody around you, even if it's at the farmer's market or in a department store, how they sell to you. Adapt what you like and discard what you don't like.
That's a great point. Just pay attention to how you respond when people are trying to sell to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the disadvantages of internet businesses is you can't see the sign. You can't see the body language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate because there is a lot to be said for body language, as we all know.
There is. And on the phone, you have to really double your listening skills. And on the web, you know, watch the vocabulary that they use and try to use some of their vocabulary. When people answer a phone, listen whether it's Jennifer or Jenny,
mm-hmm.
and address them accordingly. You have to use the skills that are available to you.
And that's a good point, names. I mean, people call me Dottie so often, and it just cracks me up because my name is Dottie, and it's all over the website. And what, you know, can't, I'm just like, okay, I guess they didn't read too much because otherwise I think they would have picked up on it. But, okay, let's see. It is almost 7:45, almost. We have a couple more minutes, and then we'll take some questions. I'm curious to know what are the major obstacles that you see business women struggle with. Is there anything in particular?
Well, I think it's what you hit on before is the fear. I was at a networking event where a very big bank offered to take photos of women, put it on their website as Entrepreneur of the Month, and put the same photo on the woman's website with a link between the two. And almost everybody said, no, it was windy outside, I didn't put makeup on, I gained a few pounds. And my answer to that is, it's not about your appearance, it's about your business.
Mm-hmm.
When an opportunity comes, you take it, you've got to say yes. And in the future, carry a comb,
mm-hmm.
carry a lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
Another example, I was at a very large conference of 2,000 people, and SBTV offered to interview any entrepreneur that wanted for free with a professional reporter, and you would have streaming video for your website.
Mm-hmm.
That would have cost thousands of dollars at that time. Out of the 2,000, only 5 of us said yes.
Mm.
People froze.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't prepared. You can't prepare for everything. You just have to grab the opportunity and go with it.
Right. I wonder, I've heard this saying, and I wonder what you think about it. Fake it till you make it. What
well,
do you think
I've
of that?
I've heard it, too. It depends to what degree.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm not sure about faking it because that sounds kind of dishonest. On the other hand, I tell people that what men do is bluff, which is a little bit better. When they're asked to do something they don't know how, they say, sure, count on it, and then they scramble to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such an experience. Somebody asked me to license my sales training program to her so she could train people under her on an as-needed basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure, let's meet in 10 days. The reason for that is it gave me 9 days to meet with the two people I knew that already licensed. I had no clue how to put the program in order.
Very good. Excellent.
But by the 10th day, I had it all together, presented her with a contract, and she was very happy and authorized it.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point, too, about being in business, is when it comes to scheduling things, I mean, some people are procrastinators, so it's really best to get things on the calendar, even if it's like a week or two or three or 4 weeks out, so that you have time to prepare. And
mm-hmm.
if you know you have that phone meeting or, you know, face-to-face meeting or whatever it is, then it helps with the, you know, oh, gosh, putting it off just another day kind of thing. So.
Right. Well, I also bet that a lot of people in my position would have said, oh, I have no idea how to go about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and turned it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. But you were just like, you know what, I can do this. I've just got to learn how to do it.
Right.
And that's just having confidence in yourself and knowing that there are resources out there. I mean, nothing is new in this world, in my opinion. All,
mm-hmm.
you know, every book and anything, any website, there's not much new. It's all just the same thing written differently. And, you know, so there's, especially with the Internet, you can learn anything online.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's
I
very
always
exciting.
Say I was born too soon. I thought my childhood was dull. And now I hardly sleep.
Okay, we have about 15 minutes left. Do you have anything else you want to say before we take some questions?
Going back to that Mark Twain quote, you have to believe you can, and whatever it is, be passionate about it and share the excitement with others. And I wish all of you the best, and if I can help you with a sales question here and there, please feel free to email me. Again, it's Elinor, Elinor, at smoothsale.net, and I'm happy to give you an answer if I may.
Okay, Elinor, do you do coaching?
Yes, I do.
Okay, very good. So if there's anyone who's interested in corresponding with Elinor about being coached for starting a business or growing a business, then you can correspond with Elinor about that too. All right, I would just like to say before we take the questions and answers, get onto that section that I am offering, because I know, Elinor, did you open this up to your list for tonight for the call?
Yes, I did.
So if there's anyone on the line that is not a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, you can email me at dots@boomerwomenspeak.com or dots@nabbw.com, and I'll be happy to send you the link to join the association for the reduced rate of $60, and it's typically $75. Okay, if anyone wants to ask a question of Elinor, please push 6 and then ask your question. Do we have any questions, Omar? I heard a lot of people beeping in. I find it hard to believe there's not a question.
Hi, this is Kathy. I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. I actually coached with you, and it was very helpful. But one of the things came up that I that something new, and you said, because I think this will help me. You said something about have a task list so that you can focus on getting done what needs to get done and make yourself busy so you don't think about getting your nose or whatever. Like, what kind of things, when you were with when you were in a sales position, what kind of things would you busy yourself up with? Because, I mean, doesn't it get you off focus?
Oh, when I say get busy, no, I mean for your business or for your sales position. So I would just have a certain amount of cold calls I'd make per day, whether in the field or on the telephone, certain number of appointments. I'd create new flyers. Whatever tasks that I'd have to do, I'd make sure that I was busy every minute of the day getting done to create greater sales. So with your business, Kathy, it would be creating a task list, you know, figuring out what your big money-making projects are and a game plan for achieving that and working on it every single day, what those tasks are and prioritizing those tasks. And then finally leaving some time for the follow-up or the details of your business.
Okay, does that help, Kathy?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank
you. Okay, good.
You're welcome.
Okay, anybody else have a question? Okay, maybe somebody will ask a question in a couple minutes, but meantime, I thought I'll ask you a question. What type of information do you use most to educate yourself? Is it the internet? Is it books? Teleseminars? How do you educate yourself about growing your business?
The internet. I read newsletters, articles, email.
Mm-hmm.
I used to take the teleseminars. I don't have time right now, but mm-hmm. if I do get some links for audio, I put it on a little MP3 player, and mm-hmm. then when I'm not driving but walking somewhere, I can listen to it or traveling.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever listen to these teleseminars while you're working online?
I can't do that. I'm not an audio. I'm a visual, so I find that very distracting. I can't. I can put a CD in while I'm driving.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay. But then it's kind of hard to take notes, huh?
It's very hard. That's the downside.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to listen a couple times.
Okay. Do you have any websites that you would recommend or any books that you've read that have been helpful?
Well, you know what? My daughter gave me the E-Myth Revisited, and that's when I realized that big companies franchise and small businesses license, and that's how I knew about licensing when I was asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend that one.
Can you repeat that?
E-Myth Revisited.
Okay. And spell that. I'm sorry.
Oh, E, mm-hmm. capital M-Y-T-H.
Okay.
Revisited.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
That's a good new one, and I was on the bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about sales books?
Well, just for if there's anybody who is...
Oh, I know what. You know what? I really came to the conclusion that building a business is all about sales and marketing, and, of course, PR is in there. But Robert Middleton, Middleton,
mm-hmm.
wrote a manual called Information Guru.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the first marketing manuals I ever read with my business. And I followed absolutely everything he said to do, and it all worked.
Oh, gosh. That's
including
great.
Writing a book.
Okay, very good. Have you corresponded with him to tell him how helpful he was?
He actually spoke at a group, and I went up to tell him, and he looked absolutely startled.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, does anybody have any questions for Eleanor? Okay, how about websites, Eleanor? Are there any websites that you use in particular?
To find information?
Mm-hmm.
One doesn't come up.
Nothing in particular?
Nothing in particular. I'm just researching all the time. I always use Google or Yahoo to do a search.
Okay, so basically Google is a good tool, and I do the same thing. I Google anything and everything and anyone and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. All right, and... how many, I'm just curious, convention-type things do you do a year?
Oh, that's a great question. I've seen,
Because there are so many.
There's so many I'd love to do, but you always have to watch your bottom line. I am faithful.
Exactly.
I'm faithful to eWomen Network. I tell my clients you've got to remain faithful to one organization.
Okay.
Just pick one.
Mm-hmm.
And then try occasionally visiting other groups just to expand your reach.
Okay.
But try to become a leader in one. So I go to the eWomen Convention, and another very good thing to do is get yourself certified as a woman business owner. So WeBank is the other convention I go to.
Okay, and how is that spelled?
W, B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, C.org. It's $350 a year to certify. You have to be 51% female owned.
Okay.
And they need to go through your paperwork. You do not have to be in the black. Trust me, I was in the red when I first certified.
Okay, so you use eWomenNetwork.com, right? E-W-O-M-E-N. N-E-T-W-O-R-K. There's two N's in there. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, .com, and then you want to repeat the other one that you just said?
W, mm-hmm. B as in boy, mm-hmm. ENC.org.
Okay.
The national organization. And they're having, both of them have the conferences in June. Luckily, it's not at the same time.
Okay. So they're two that you're faithful to.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have a question for Eleanor?
Yes, I do, actually. This is Sharon from Denver. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Sharon.
What would be the benefit to getting certified as a woman's business?
Oh, thank you for furthering the conversation. First of all, it puts you in touch with women who have already made it to multi-million dollar businesses. So when you network with people who are much further ahead of you, you rise much more quickly, and they're there to help you. And then number two, there's pressure on the government to the government puts pressure on large corporations to purchase from women. So they have supplier diversity departments, and you register with them. But when you go to the conventions, you meet them face-to-face, and that gets you further ahead. So if you want to sell to the big corporations, you're able to. But for me, the main thing is the networking.
Mm-hmm. Do they offer any kind of financial support in the way of grants for women-owned businesses?
I don't know about the grants. I know SBC does. I think it's SBC. But they have matchmaking events where you can ask to be put in front of specific companies. Magazines show up there. I got an article into Diversity Magazine. There are just so many different ways you can use the organization, and they have local networking events from time to time, too.
Well, thank you.
And also, your question about loans, I'll have to tell you, the Small Business Administration is amazing, at least in Baltimore, and I think it's pretty much nationwide. They have so many free teleseminars, and they also have free counseling. Like, you can go, and a lot of times it's retired people who are just still trying to keep busy, and they can sit and help you make a business plan. They will, if you have a business plan in place, they can look at it and make suggestions for how to better it. There's just a lot of opportunities. I know, especially, you know, locally here, I've been to different seminars that they have at the library, and for a while, and they may do it every year, they cycle for like 6 weeks, and each week, you know, you can meet with a banker, you can meet with a lawyer, you can meet with different other business owners who are entrepreneurs who have recently started businesses. Then they might have one come who has been in business for quite some time and is willing to share their path. So I always recommend the Small Business Administration, and they have a pretty decent website. So there's a lot that you can learn from them for free. And they also do loans. So I'm not sure about their loans for women, if it's any different than if you were to go into a bank, but you might want to check that out. Okay, any other? We have time for maybe one more question. Does anybody else have a question for Eleanor?
You know, I don't have a question, but I just wanted to say, Eleanor, thank you for inviting me on today. I'm Carol Newman, International Gift Express. I've been in sales for many years. And you are the best. You are
thank you, Carol. Thank you for coming on.
I have a travel idea for you, so I'll email you.
Okay, very nice. Anyone else? Okay, well, Eleanor, I really just want to thank you for being on the call. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope that people will go to your website and buy your book and consider being coached by you, et cetera. And I'll just look forward to being in touch via email.
This was wonderful, Dotsy. I really appreciate the opportunity to be online with you today, on the phone with you today.
Great. Okay, well, have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.